Welcome, everyone. This is Andrea's More Effective Marketing Podcast, and I'm your host, Andrea Stenberg of the Baby Boomer Entrepreneur. At first glance, a lot of people might think that today's call is a little bit off topic. However, most business owners say that the number one reason they don't do more marketing is they don't have enough time. So on today's call, I will be speaking with Master Virtual Assistant Janet Barkley about how you can get more done so that you have time to do those essential marketing tasks. Janet is co-owner of The Organized Assistant. She has earned a designation of Master Virtual Assistant based on her education, experience, and success in the field of virtual assistants. She also has won awards for her blog and her outstanding professionalism on the web. So welcome, Janet.
Thank you very much.
So, well, why don't we just dive right in? And for a lot of people, virtual assistant is a new term. So can you tell us what exactly is a virtual assistant?
Sure. A virtual assistant, and you often hear that shortened to just VA, and basically a virtual assistant is a professional who supports your business from a remote location, which in most cases is that person's home office. And working with a VA is an ideal solution for entrepreneurs who work alone but don't have the time, skills, or desire to handle all the tasks associated with running a small business. And it's ideal because you don't have to supply office space or equipment or software. You don't have to deal with all the paperwork involved with hiring staff, such as source deductions and all that stuff. And you also don't have to pay for employee benefits, vacation time, sick days, or any expenses over and above the time that's needed to work on your business.
And for a lot of people, particularly solopreneurs, people who are working from home, from a home office, that's one of the things that kind of holds them back, is the idea that I'm working from home, I can't hire somebody. But if a virtual assistant's working from their home, it takes away that one big obstacle that you have.
Exactly.
So now, I know another reason that people who are really busy and would like to hire somebody, and the reason that they say, no, I don't want to do it, is they think of it as an expense. Now, I know you say a virtual assistant is actually an investment. It can help you make more money. So tell us, why is that true?
Okay, well, in the beginning, when you just start your business and you're not bringing in a lot of money, you've got the time to do all the tasks yourself, to spend lots of hours a week on administration and marketing and those kind of things. But at that point, it probably doesn't make sense to outsource unless there's something you really don't know how to do yourself. But as you get busier, you've only got so many hours in the week. So if you're busy with clients, you don't have as much time to spend on administration, on marketing tasks. And obviously looking after the clients is your first priority. So those other things often will just not get done, or else you're working late at night, you're working weekends, you're not taking vacation. And if you don't keep those activities going, if you don't keep actively marketing, your ability to keep getting new clients is going to be seriously hindered. So let's say, for example, that you don't, people contact you about their services, you give them some information, and then you leave the ball in their court, so to speak, and you don't have any kind of follow-up system because you just don't have the time for it. Very good chance those people are just going to disappear. But if you have a virtual assistant that can enter all that information about those new contacts in a database and either send you a reminder it's time to call these people, or have a email that they will send out on your behalf after, if you haven't heard from them after, 2 weeks or whatever would be normal for your industry, then the VA can look after that. And if any of those leads ends up becoming a client, then the service has paid for itself. I can give you another example. If it takes you 2 hours to put together a newsletter, and then you instead delegate that work to a virtual assistant, that's 2 extra hours that you can spend on billable work or meeting with prospective clients or, you know, something else that's going to actually affect your bottom line. And over the course of a year, that extra income can really add up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even just, you know, 2 hours a week, if your hourly rate is more than what you're paying the virtual assistant, then yeah, that can add up over time.
The other side of that
mm-hmm.
Is what takes you 2 hours, if you're not really technical, a VA can probably do it in less time because it's what they're doing all the time. So if what takes you 2 hours might take them an hour and a half or an hour, depending what it is.
That is so true. I know I've struggled with things on my website because I don't, you know, I'm fairly technical, but because I don't do that every day, sometimes stuff takes me hours.
Right.
I know somebody like you could do it in probably 20 minutes. Okay, so if you're getting to that point where you're starting to feel like you don't have enough time to get everything done, I mean, when does it make sense to really seriously consider hiring somebody? What are sort of some of the, you know, warning signs or indicators that, you know, it really is time to start thinking about getting some extra help?
Well, if you find that, you know, after you've sent out proposals or other correspondence or, you know, articles you've submitted, things like that, and afterwards you realize, oh, there was, you know, typos in there, there was a spelling mistake or word missing, because you're hurried, you're trying to get so much done, and just having an extra set of eyes to look things over before they go out can be a real benefit. And a lot of people, if they, you know, think, oh, I'm, you know, I have very good language skills, this is not an issue. The thing is, it's really hard to spot your own mistakes because you know what it's supposed to say. So when you read it, that's what you see. So if you do find you're sending out things with errors, it may be time to start thinking about having someone else on board. If you find that you're putting in a lot of evening and weekend hours just to stay on top of things, you know, that's okay to do occasionally, but if you do that all the time on an ongoing basis, you're going to get burnt out, and that's no good. If you, at the end of the week, at the end of the day, if you've got stuff left over on your to-do list, and you find out that you're not getting them done and you're continually carrying over the same items and each week putting it back on your list that you're just not getting to it, that's a really good sign that you need an extra set of hands. Also, if you want to make use of, you know, maybe you're thinking you want to make better use of technology, but you don't know where to begin, you're not that tech savvy, most virtual assistants are very tech savvy and can help you get going with a blog or getting on social media sites or using autoresponders or any of those kind of tasks where automation is going to save you lots of time. And, of course, the biggest one is if you have started to turn away business because you just don't feel you've got time to take on new clients, that's a really big flag that you need some assistance, because if you can't take on new clients, you're not going to be able to increase your income.
Yeah, that's a definite red flag. Another one, I think, would be if you've met somebody at a conference or a networking meeting or somebody where they've asked for information from you and that business card has been sitting on your desk and you haven't followed up, that's probably another sign, because I mean, those are the opportunities. When somebody has said, I've met you, I'm interested in you, I think I might like to buy from you, I mean, you've got to strike when the iron's hot. And if you're letting those opportunities slip through, that's kind of scary.
and sometimes you notice that card sitting there after 2 or 3 weeks, and you think, oh, I forgot about that. Now, if I send something now, is it worse if I send something now because then they just think, wow, that took her a long time? Or, you know, if you've got somebody that you can just right away after every time you go to a networking event or a trade show or anything, say, okay, here's the people I met. I want you to you know, just send them a message on my behalf and probably would have a standard one. But if you make notes as far as anything particular that you wanted to send that person, the service they'd ask about, things like that, then they can be looked after right away.
Okay. Now, I know a lot of times people say, I know I need help, but I don't know what I can have somebody do and what I can't have somebody do. I mean, we've touched on a few things, but particularly, you know, if you're working from a home office, I mean, you can't, you know, I can't have somebody come in and, or, you know, file things for me because they have to physically be here. So what kinds of things are ideal for outsourcing to a VA if you're getting too busy?
Okay, well, there are so many possibilities, and the great thing is that you can probably find a VA to handle just about anything except, as you said, to come in and do your filing and, of course, to make your coffee. What I usually suggest to people is rather than saying, okay, what can you do for me, is for them to sit down and make a list of what they do, everything that they do during their working hours, and identify tasks that they could delegate. Could be things that they're spending too much time on because they're difficult for them, like you mentioned about the website updates, or things that they just don't like doing. And I guess the best way to sort of evaluate what could be delegated is what's going to have the biggest impact. If I get this off of my plate, what's going to alleviate the most stress and help me to be more productive and more successful? And once you've got a few ideas in mind, then you can start looking for a VA that would provide the services that you need. There's lots of VAs that specialize in a certain area, so if you want somebody specifically for bookkeeping or for email marketing or blogging or whatever you want, you can probably find someone that has expertise in that area. You might even find one that specializes in your particular industry, because there's special training programs that certify virtual assistants to support authors or to support professionals in real estate, the legal industry, financial services. There's all kinds of specializations.
Having somebody who specializes in your industry can be a real advantage because you don't have to spend as much time training them because they already know.
That's right. They know the terminology.
You know the keyword.
If there's any kind of legal requirements around paperwork, that they're going to be familiar with those, that sort of thing. And yeah, like you said, knowing the keywords. I mean, I myself, before I started my business, I worked in employment services. So, and a lot of my clients are career professionals, and so if they ask me to optimize their website, I know the words to use, and for me that's not a huge job. But I've had other people from other industries come to me and ask for the same service, and it takes me way longer because I don't know the words, so I have to do all the research. So there are definite benefits to somebody who knows your industry, whether they maybe have worked in it in the past or whether they've taken training or maybe they just have other clients in that field. And I know that some people are reluctant to go to a VA with other clients that do what they do because they're very competitive. But it's important to know that, you know, most VAs do have a code of ethics and confidentiality, and they're not going to take your ideas and pass them on to their other clients. So it's you know, you have to weigh the benefits of having somebody with the knowledge versus somebody who doesn't know anyone else that's doing what you do, what's going to affect you mostly in the end.
Well, and having somebody in the same industry, particularly if your client base is regional, then, you know, if I'm in Owen Sound, so if my client base were in Owen Sound, if I worked with a VA who had somebody who was doing exactly the same thing I do, but their client base was in Los Angeles,
exactly,
there wouldn't be any problem at all. So,
That's
it would
right.
Certainly help as far as training. I would have to spend less time training. They would probably be faster at getting the tasks done because they would already know what kinds of things. and they might be able to even suggest things that I wouldn't think of that they could do.
That's right. And that, I mean, that's true not just of specialists, but whenever you work with the same virtual assistant over a period of time, as they, the more they get to know you and your business and how you work, they're going to be able to come up with ideas that you may or may not have thought of to help market your business and streamline processes and things like that.
Okay. Now, as far as, like, sort of the actual kind of nuts and bolts of working with somebody, like, I sort of get how I want to update a website and I'm going to outsource that. I can say, you know, I want to put this photo here, here's some text. Can you add, you know, a button that does this and all that? I understand that. But, for example, something like bookkeeping where you might have receipts and invoices and things like that, how does that work with somebody who's not in the office with me?
Depending if your bookkeeper is local, like it's actually I do outsource my bookkeeping, and my bookkeeper is a local. So we just make arrangements. Sometimes we'll meet at a local networking event, and if not, then we'll make arrangements. She'll stop by here. She'll drop off the last batch of receipts from me, and I'll give her the next batch. So it's just, you know, once every 2-3 months or so that we need to trade paperwork. So it's not a big deal, and she is local. But if your VA isn't local, you can still do the same thing by sending out a package by courier. Or what some people do is fax them or scan them and email them. Now, I wouldn't recommend that unless you've got a really fast scanner that you can feed them through. Because I've just got the flatbed, and I know that would take hours. I'd probably be faster just to do the bookkeeping. But there are options, definitely. And so that's as far as, I mean, bookkeeping is the one that comes to mind, too, as far as that I think of where you've got something that needs to be handed off. But sometimes people have, like, for example, if somebody wants their website updated, they can just email, like you said, and say, okay, I want these words on this page. But if they have an idea that they want to sort of draw out, they'll sketch it out and scan it and send it by email or maybe just fax it so that I can see what it is they've got in mind. Or sometimes they'll just, if it's for website updates and it's easier for them, they'll print off the page and write on it what changes they want and send that by fax or, again, scan it and email it. So there's lots of options. Technology has really made things so much, well, I don't know, easier. I mean, in the past, I don't even think this type of business could have even been possible.
Yeah, it's true. Nowadays, people can be working for each other all over the world. It doesn't matter.
That's right. That's right. And some people actually prefer that. They'll take a VA that's on the other side of the world or on the other side of the country because they can, at the end of their business day, send a bunch of stuff to their VA, and their VA will have it done for them by the time they start the next day. So there's so many.
It will almost feel like it's instantaneous because you're
exactly
shutting down for the day, send it off to the VA, and then the next morning there it is in your inbox.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
Yep.
Have 4 items on my to-do list checked off before I even start my day. That would be good.
That would be a real motivator to keep going, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Now, I remember, I think I was probably in Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Work Week. He told a story of I'm not sure if it was him or if it was somebody else, who they hired a VA to set up some interviews for, I think it was for like a teleseminar or something, and the VA misunderstood and thought these were job interviews. So the VA spent a whole bunch of time getting background information on each of the people and creating a list, comparing their strengths and weaknesses. And so what the employer thought was going to be, you know, a couple hours of work ended up being 20 hours worth of work because there was a misunderstanding on the task. So how do you make sure that you're not saying apples and the VA here is oranges and so that you don't get these surprises of having, you know, you're expecting it's going to take 2 hours and it ends up being 20 hours. How do you make sure that that happens?
Yeah, that can happen. I haven't had that exact same thing happen to me, but I had a situation when I was still fairly new at this where a new client emailed me, said, I would like you to do this. And it was somewhat vague, but it was like the first thing he wanted to know how long it would take me to do that. So I just went ahead and took a general situation and did it. And it turned out he had a specific one. Why he didn't give me the details in, I don't know, but that was a really learning experience for me, how important it is for the VA to make sure they know exactly what the client is asking for, especially at the beginning when you don't really know each other's communication styles and that. And now, again, because I was new, and when you're new, a lot of people will tend to just take on any client because they want the business. And now I have more, I'll take the time to make sure it's a good fit, because it's important on both sides that it be a good fit. And communication style is huge. So I think one of the things that you can do, I mean, first of all, is be as clear as possible. If you want them to do something specific, then be specific. It's better to give too much information than not enough. And especially if you want things done a certain way, you need to say that. And if a VA has an idea that that's not the best way to handle it, they'll let you know, and then, you know, that could be beneficial for you. But if you're expecting it to be done this way and they do it a different way, your first reaction might be, no, that's all wrong, and it just gets the relationship off on a bad foot. And I'm just in general, working with somebody virtually, it is more difficult to make a relationship because you don't have that contact that you've got when you're working alongside someone in an office, and you don't have the nonverbal language that you have when you're speaking to somebody face-to-face or even over the phone, since so much of it is by email. So, again, just to be really specific, not just on what you want done, but when you want it done. Do you need it tomorrow, or is next week fine, or just whenever? And even saying just when you can get to it, that can be interpreted so differently, because if your VA is really busy, when they can get to it, it might just keep going to the bottom of the list, thinking, well, as long as I have something else to work on, this can wait. And maybe by when you can get to it means I don't need it today, but tomorrow would be nice. So it's really important to be specific, and if you really don't care, at least say, oh, anytime within the next month will be fine, just to give them a guideline, because it's so hard to just guess. And don't assume that it's going to be actioned immediately unless you have an agreement with your VA that they're going to work for you, you know, for a certain number of hours every day or every week or every month, because unless they've got that time already set out for you, they may not be able to do it right away. However, that being said, if you say it's really urgent, they may be able to, but if you don't mention that it's urgent, they have no way of knowing that. And if you don't really have a deadline, you know, it's okay to say to the VA, it's not urgent, but when do you think you could have it done, just so that you can sort of negotiate a deadline, just to make sure that it does get done. Another thing that's really important is that you're available to provide clarification or feedback, especially when you're working, you know, when your VA is just new working with you, or if the project is something new and different. So you need to agree between the two of you how to handle that. If they're working on something for you and they run into a problem, can they pick up the phone and call you, or are you always on, say, MSN or Skype? or can they send you an email? And if they, if an email is what you agree on, it's so important that you respond to those emails on a timely basis, because if they're working, if they've allowed for today to work on that project and they run into a problem and they email you and you don't go back to them for 2 days, well, they might be in the middle of something else by then and you might have to wait a couple more days. Maybe not. I'm not saying that would definitely be the case, but it's a possibility. And so it's really important that you both respect each other's schedules and that you do have open communication. And even if you both prefer email for communication, it's a really great idea to just pick up the phone and chat once in a while. It just helps to build the relationship and make you feel that you are working together.
And sometimes if, like, I know I've got some colleagues where we do a lot of projects via Skype email chat, like not speaking.
Mm.
And sometimes we'll be in the middle of something and it's taking so long that finally I'll just pick up the phone and call and say, you know what, this is faster, because it is faster if you can instantly talk back and forth and ask questions and clarify things. So if it's something that's going to get involved, sometimes it really is just easier to do it verbally.
That's right. We're so hooked on email that's usually the first route that we go, but it's not always the best.
Yeah. Any other specifics about how to make sure that things go smoothly when you're hiring or when you're working with somebody? What about, like, do you need to sort of create a step-by-step plan of how you do things, or is it better to just say, this is what I want the end product to look like, or how?
Again, it's probably a good thing to discuss that with your VA to figure out what works best. I mean, let's just say, for example, that you've decided to have me start doing a certain task for you that you've been doing yourself. If you've got a procedure sheet that you've made for yourself already, or you can quickly put one together and send that to me, that's definitely going to make things go more smoothly. But if you don't have one, or if it's something you haven't been doing and now I'm going to do it, then obviously that wouldn't make sense for you to do that, because you're hiring me to save yourself time, not to create more work. So you need to balance that out. I have some clients where I'll start doing, they'll say, this is what, you know, what we want it to do, and then once I've developed a procedure, I'll write up the procedure and sometimes send it to the client, because if I'm going to be away or something and they need to do it themselves sometimes, then they have that and they know exactly what I'm doing, but not for all of them. Some are more, I guess it depends. Some people are more organized. They like to have everything documented, and other people are just like, no, you look after it. That's why I have you. So it's, I guess, a matter of preference. I think I'm babbling. What was the last question?
No, that's okay. I was just asking more, you know, specifically about how to make sure that you guys are taught, you know, you
right. Yeah. I know one of the things that I like if I'm working on a large project is to touch base with the client, you know, at certain intervals during the project and not just sort of wait until it's all done, because I just sort of to make sure that I am on the right track, that this is what they had in mind, and just to make sure. Yeah, because when you're billing somebody for the by the hour, you don't want to spend like 10 hours on it and then find out, no, that's not what I wanted, and then everybody feels badly. So, you know, if you can check in after a couple hours, say, oh, here, this is what I've got so far. Is this what you were hoping for? And, you know, it's
and that would probably
thing.
Be, again, like you said, particularly important, you know, the first little while you work together, or the first time you do a particular type of project.
Exactly.
Okay, right. Now suppose at the end of this call somebody's listening and saying, you know what, okay, I really do need to get a VA. I've got some ideas of what I want them to work on. How does someone find a VA, and how do you hire a VA? What kind of things do you need to look for or ask about when hiring someone?
Okay, there's lots of places that you can find VAs. There are a lot of different virtual assistant organizations, and many of them have, not only a member directory that you could look through. If your time is precious and you don't really want to do that, several of them will have a request for proposal form that you can fill out with your requirements, and then people will email you to say, yes, I'm interested, and you know, this is all about me, here's what I charge, and that sort of thing. And if I may put in a plug, I have a group called the Golden Horseshoe Virtual Assistance Group, and our website is ghva.ca, and we don't yet have a request for proposal form, but it should be live within the next month or so. So I just I'd throw that in there. And other people will find, VAs just through recommendations from colleagues. There's so many different ways, and of course there's thousands of us. So there's definitely someone out there that can help you. Now, what you would ask people when you're making your choice is sort of going to depend on what you've identified you want your VA to do. So if, for example, if you have decided that you want to start using one shopping cart and you need somebody that knows how to use it, then obviously that's going to be your most important question is, what experience do you have working with one shopping cart or some other type of software, what experience do you have working with real estate agents, for example, or whatever is most important to you, or several combinations of those questions. And especially, if the person is fairly new as a VA, you could want to ask how their past work experience and training relates to the needs of your business. Some of the things, again, it depends on what kind of requirements you have, but if you expect that you're going to need same-day turnaround on things, or if you want to be able to contact your VA by phone or by instant messenger just at any time without setting it up in advance, you want to make sure that they can accommodate that they would be available to do that. Some people work only specific hours. The reason that they've decided to be a VA is because they have young children, so they work while their children are napping or out playing or sleeping, and so their hours may not coincide with yours. So if that's important, you need to ask those questions. And as you mentioned earlier, you said, well, they can't come in and do my filing, but perhaps they can. If you have someone that's in your area, they may do that. But don't just say, okay, I want a VA in Owen Sound because I want someone to do my filing, and then find out later, well, no, I'm not coming in. I don't do that. So you want to, if that is important to you, you want to ask, do they do that? And if they will come to your office, do they charge the same rate, or do they charge a higher rate, or do they charge the same but you pay for their travel time as well? Those kind of things, because a lot of people that do provide an on-site service will charge more for that time. Speaking of fees, of course, yes.
Before we go on to fees, I did want to ask, you had mentioned a few times talking about training, and I know I've seen on the web there's different designations for virtual assistants. You're a master virtual assistant. Are there some, official designations for virtual assistants that are better than others? Is it necessary that you find somebody who has that that sort of designation, and how do you know which ones are authentic and which ones are just sort of, you know, you pay a fee and you get it regardless of your skill sort of thing?
Right. I don't think it's important. To me, in the virtual assistant industry or any industry, if a person has certification, it does show that they're serious about what they do, because it does cost money, for one thing. So somebody isn't going to pay a lot of money for a certification if it's just a hobby for them. So it does show that they're serious, but it doesn't necessarily show that they're more qualified than someone else, because you could have someone who has, say, 20 years experience as an executive assistant in a marketing company, and they've just started out as a VA. They haven't taken any training because they feel they have all the skills that they need, and you know, they might be just as qualified or more qualified than somebody who's got lots of letters after their name. So that's just one, I think, just one thing. I would not think it would be a deciding factor.
So the real important thing is to look at who they've worked with in the past and what kind of skills they bring to the table, and can mm-hmm. they prove it?
And when you talk to them, do you feel that this is somebody that you're comfortable with, that they get you? Because I think that's really important, that they understand who you are and what your business is about and share the same values and things like that. Because they are representing you, whether they're out front and people know that they're representing you, or whether they're just working for you behind the scenes, they're still representing your business and you. So you want to make sure that it's someone you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I can see that. It, particularly, you know, even if it's only 5 or 10 hours a month, it's still going to be an important part of your business. You want it to be somebody that you like and trust and feel happy with.
Right. And somebody that understands you, so that if you say, well, I'm looking for something like this, that they're not sitting there going, what? But they go, oh, yeah, I know you want this. So it just helps if you kind of have that mind melt thing going on.
Sure. Now we were talking about, before I moved on to this tangent, you were going to start talking about fees.
Oh, right, yes.
How much should we expect to pay a virtual assistant?
Okay, well, that really varies. You'd mentioned the 4-hour work week, and I think in that book he talks about like $5 an hour, and I understand that after that book came out, that the companies that he mentions in the book all stopped taking new clients because they were so swamped. And, of course, they were not in North America. They were overseas. And so you're going to pay more for someone in North America than you would in, say, India or the Philippines. That's just a fact. And depending what you want, you know, you have to be careful if they're going to be doing things that would require them to have a really good command of the English language or a good understanding of North American culture, then, you know, you may want to pay that extra for somebody who's from your own country.
I can certainly see if proofreading or editing or, you know, sending out emails or even making phone calls on your behalf, you definitely want somebody who has as good as, if not better, command of the English language than you
and
do.
And I've received emails from people in other places. I don't want to name any. I'm not trying to pick on anyone in particular, but they said, you know, if you have any overflow work, you could send my way. But the email is written so badly, and just written back, and I said, look, please don't take offense, but if you're going to try and subcontract for other people, you really need to work on your language skills. There were 7 mistakes in your email. So, you know, that's just not worth saving a few dollars on, I don't think. Now, if it's more of graphic design type work and where language is less of an issue, then that's different.
Although even in the communication back and forth, if somebody does not speak your language,
that's true.
Trying to assign the tasks could be problematic if you don't understand each other.
Right. Right. So that being said, let's assume you're going with someone in North America. Still, you could expect to see rates ranging from $25 up to maybe $75 an hour. Now, that high number would likely be someone who's very specialized in something that's a really skill that is hard to find. I haven't seen too many people that charge that, but I have seen it. On the lower end, there's a good chance that it's someone who has a regular job and is doing it part-time, because I can speak from experience that you can't, I don't think, sustain a business and make a living charging $25 an hour. So if it's not important to you that the person is in business full-time, depending, again, what you want, that's fine. My only concern would be, if it's not their full-time business, are they going to still be there in a year if I still need them? So that's part of it. But the amount being charged isn't the only question that you need to ask, because if they're charging so much per hour, how is that calculated? Is it, if it's part of an hour, you pay for the full hour? Is it by the minute, or is it by 15-minute increments or 10-minute increments? So you might want to ask that. I mean, unless they're charging for an hour, if it's only 5 minutes, it probably won't make a big difference at the end of the day, but it's something that you should be aware of. And is there a minimum charge? If you have a very small task, do you have to pay for a full hour, or how does that work? Do they require a monthly retainer? There are VAs that's the only way they'll work. If you don't want at least 5 hours a month or 10 hours a month, then you go somewhere else. They don't take on odd projects, whereas others, that's exclusively what they do, is just the short-term projects. So it's, again, depending what you're looking for, it's not that one is better than the other, it's what do you need. And if it's a monthly retainer, do you pay at the beginning of the month or at the end of the month? And what happens if you don't? If you commit to 10 hours a month, what if you only use 8? Do you lose the 2 hours, or are they carried over? Those are things to take under consideration. Or do they have packages? Could you buy a 5-hour package, say, or a 10-hour package? There's different VAs do things differently. Do they charge extra for a rush job? So if you came to them on this afternoon and you needed it done by the morning, would you have to pay extra? How much? Those are all things to take into consideration.
Okay. And so now, I mean, do all virtual assistants, is it all by the hour, or are there any, like, for example, I know I used to be a copywriter, and oftentimes copywriters actually charge by the project. They'll quote on a particular project and say, okay, I will invoice you X number of dollars, and if it takes me less time, I make more money. If it takes me more time,
right?
You save money.
Yeah, it does vary. I'd say for the most part, it's by the hour, but some things are done differently. Some people would say, okay, if you come to me and I have a package, I can get you your profile on, you know, 25 social media sites, and here's how much it costs for that service. It's a flat rate and includes this. Or other things are, I guess you'd call it piecework or whatever. Like, transcription is generally done by the hour, not the hour of typing, but the audio hour. So if typically you could expect a 1 hour. Let's say you wanted a transcription of today's call, and if it's an hour, it would probably take 4 hours to type, but they don't bill you 4 hours. They bill you so much per audio hour or minute. or whatever. I don't know. I don't do transcription. but different things like that. So again, that's something to ask about. Do you have special packages? And if it's a project that you're looking for, you know, is it a set price to, say, take my these articles and put them together into an ebook with a cover? Is that a standard price or is it by the hour? And of course they're usually going to tell you that, and if you mention that's what you want, they're going to quote on that. But yeah, so it's not always by the hour. It's a short answer. Okay.
All right. And so probably it would make sense then, if you're going to hire a virtual assistant, particularly if you've never worked with one before, to maybe have a couple of projects in mind or a couple of tasks and say, okay, we're going to try it out for a month or try these particular projects and just see how
right.
it goes. You work
mm-hmm.
together before you sort of commit to any kind of long-term.
Sure. Yeah, because unless you've had a glowing recommendation from somebody that you know really well, it would be pretty hard to talk to somebody once for half an hour and then say, okay, great, I'm going to, you know, send you 25 hours of work every month from now until foreseeable future. You know, that would be pretty hard to commit to that until you really tested the water. So, yeah, usually... I usually, when I'm talking to somebody new, it suggests that they start with a 5-hour package, and then that gives them a chance to see, you know, to try out our work and see if it's what they're looking for, see how well we work together, and that sort of thing.
Okay. Now, suppose you and I were going to be working together, and I did take that 5-hour package. At the end of the 5 hours, how do I evaluate, you know, this is working, this is, you know, or this isn't working, or maybe it could be better, or this is perfect? Like, how do I look at that if I've never had somebody working for me before? How do I figure out if things are going right?
Oh, that's a good question. that's a really good question. And part of it, I mean, this, I guess it's going to depend on the individual, but if it were me, I would just think, well, how did this whole experience feel to me? Like, did I have a good feeling about it? Did I feel liberated that this person had taken this work off my plate and got this stuff done? Or was it stressful because they were phoning me every 2 hours with questions, and whereas I thought this 5 hours was going to get this done, they were only able to get that done, and so that's part of it. And I'm not saying, well, that you thought it would be less time, so therefore it wasn't right. Maybe it was a matter of communicating in the first place. So I think you need to sort of ask them, too, at the beginning what you could expect to see happen with the 5 hours so that you would know whether they really had a good handle after the... If they told you the 5 hours they were going to do this, and this, and they were only able to do two of those things, then you would need to talk to them and find out, well, what was the problem? Were the instructions not clear, or... did you run into technical problems? Because that can happen. I've worked on people's newsletters that I've done for months and months and months, and then 1 month you go to do it, and it's putting in all these characters that don't belong there. That doesn't usually happen, and I did the exact same thing I always do. So it takes extra time. So you need to ask the questions. But I think basically it's just to weigh yourself whether you found that it was a good experience, that it did benefit you and your business. And, of course, you're not going to necessarily see that extra money coming in right away after a 5-hour project. So, you know, it's not like that. Well, I can say, okay, I just spent this, but I have nothing to show for it.
but if you've had a 5-hour project and you really did free up 5 hours of time that you could spend on something else that you haven't been doing,
exactly,
probably a good thing.
Exactly, for sure. Yeah.
Now, how about, suppose you've got a VA and you've been working with them for a while and you're really happy, and then something doesn't go right, and how would you suggest dealing with that? Because I think particularly for solopreneurs who maybe aren't used to, you know, like we don't have employees, a lot of us don't have experience as supervisors, and so we feel a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. I think particularly those of us in Canada, we don't like to, you know, we don't like to call people on stuff. How do you deal with it if something's not going right? What's the best way to deal with a problem?
I would avoid using email because it's too impersonal and it could come across in a way you didn't intend it. What I would probably do is send an email to set up a phone call and then discuss it over the phone. And, you know, not as to be critical, but just sort of say this and this aren't going very well. Is there a problem with the way I'm communicating the information? Am I giving you too much to do? Is this not the kind of work you're interested in doing? I have to say that my best clients do come to me and ask me, is this something you want to do or not? Would you want to do this or this? And because if it's something I like to do, I'm going to do a much more a better job than if it's something that I'm struggling and kind of just doing because I have to. So I think,
like anyone.
Like anyone, sure. So I think it's just best to be open with people. And I would certainly, if it was not an ongoing situation, I definitely wouldn't close any doors without at least, you know, talking it out and finding out, well, how can we fix this?
Okay. So it sounds like really it's the best is you want to be clear with what you want to achieve, make
mm-hmm.
sure that you're communicating it, and then if there's any problems, it's just keep talking, really.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it could happen that you decide that it's not working. And it could go either way. I've heard of VAs firing clients that were just not a good fit for them, that it wasn't going well. And I think it's important for everybody, for VAs and their clients, to realize that it's not a reflection of a failure on anyone's part, that sometimes it's just not the right person. You know, especially if your needs change, maybe you've chosen someone because they were really great at, maybe to start off you wanted somebody to handle your routine inquiries and making appointments and whatnot, and then later decided you wanted someone to do something else that required more of a design element, and they just didn't have it. So if your needs change, then maybe it's time to look at someone else that can do that.
Okay.
And some people have more than one VA for different tasks that they have.
That was going to be my next question. So to have maybe one VA to handle all the techie stuff on your website and your newsletter, and maybe another VA to, like you said, setting appointments or something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, I see now by the clock that we're almost at an hour. So what I'm going to do is open the line up to see if anybody has any questions. So just one second here. Okay, does anyone have a question for Janet?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Diana. I wanted to know if, you mentioned this briefly, but I wanted to know if people are using VAs to manage their social networking and how the labor can be divided so that if there's ethical questions, if people are representing, if the VA is representing themselves as actually being the person under whose account they're working. I hope I said this well.
Okay, I understand what you're asking. Okay, usually people will do their own actual networking. So what the VA would do is set up the profiles, you know, put your picture in and your bio. If they've got your list of contacts, they can make the connections with people. And we have clients that we've done that for, but we don't pretend that we are the client. Sometimes, you know, we have one client who doesn't like to take the time to go to the site, so we will log in and, you know, monitor her connection requests, and if she does get a personal message, we'll let her know so-and-so is saying this, and she will either respond or she'll say, well, please tell them this, but tell them you're my assistant, you know, so we'll do it through her account, but say this is, you know, Janet, I'm her VA, and she said that this and this and this. Just, though I'm not saying it doesn't happen, there probably are situations where the VA is, you know, you think you're talking to this person and it's in fact the VA. And I don't know if that's going to, I guess that would be an ethical question. I guess it depends on to what extent. But there are definitely people who feel strongly that, I mean, if you're networking, that it should be the person that you're networking with and not someone representing that person.
Yeah. I know of at least a couple of people who have a VA, like you said, who go in and so, say in Facebook, you get a bunch of friend requests, and they have the person whose Facebook account it is has a criteria of who they will accept and who they won't. And
exactly.
So the VA might do that, is accept or not accept invitations, and then send maybe either daily or weekly a list, these are the new people, or, you know, when you get those sort of weird Facebook apps, like a water fight or something
right.
like that, they'll delete those. And like you said, monitor the emails. Another thing is, I think it was one of the blog squad wrote a blog post just this week about updating your profile. Because if you're on, say, 5, 6, 7 different social media sites and your profile changes, like maybe, you know, you've done something new or you're just wanting to be a little bit fresher, that could take a lot of time to go and change them on all the
That's
sites.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that would be perfect for a VA.
That's right. Because all you have to do is write it once, and then they'll make sure it gets out where it needs to go.
And the same with updating photos and also just checking to see what other people are saying about you. That
right.
can be helpful to have somebody monitor
right.
that for you.
Mm-hmm. We have a client that we have a Google alert set for her name, for her book titles, and because a lot of the stuff is not relevant. But what we'll do is the ones that are of interest, then we'll send them to her. So it's faster. It's even less work for her than just receiving the Google alerts, because she knows if they're coming to her, they've already been screened and they do have something to do with her. So there's lots of different ways that a VA can help without having to pretend they're you.
Okay. Well, Janet, if somebody wants to find out more about virtual assistants or find out more about you, how can they get in touch with you?
My website is organizedassistant.com, and I also have a blog, which is janetbarkley.com.
janetbarkley.com is it the Organized Assistant or Organized Assistant?
It's just organizedassistant.com.
Organizedassistant.com. All right, well, Janet, I want to thank you so much for sharing your information today. I think anyone who's been sort of on the fence about whether or not they should hire somebody, I think you've given people a lot of food for thought about how to take that next step. So I want to thank you very, very much for your time today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, and this is all for Andrea's More Effective Marketing Podcast. I'd like everybody to mark your calendars for April 29th, when I will be speaking with Diana Schneidman. Diana has had great success building a freelance consulting business fast, which in this economy I think is important. And she's going to be sharing some of her tips and strategies on how to build your business quickly. So again, this is Andrea Stenberg from Andrea's More Effective Marketing Podcast. Good afternoon, everyone.